Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob puts Becky and Scott's wine knowledge to the test as they drink blindly the 2008 Numancia Termex from Spain. Will they be able to pick out this classic wine? Will they know it's even Tempranillo? We'll find that out tonight here on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, Rob. Good evening, folks.
And I am also joined by an exhausted Triple B.
I am exhausted. Good evening.
On tonight's show, folks, tonight we have a mystery wine. It's not a mystery to me, but it's a mystery to Scott and Becky.
Well,
they have a glass in front of them. Within it is wine.
Allegedly.
Tonight, they are going to show their prowess. They're going to show their expertise. They're going to show why they are the Wine Vault by breaking this wine down and showing the world what they can do. It's very exciting for me because I already know what it is, and I know that it's very difficult.
Triple B, I'm wondering if you wanted to share with the audience why you're so exhausted, because coming into this episode, I kind of have an idea.
Well, she's just irritable.
Now you're speaking for her.
I am.
That's so funny you say that, Scott.
Mm.
I was irritated with him anyway.
Yes.
Because of something that we'll talk about later in the episode.
That's right.
But then also, I discovered two boxes of stuff in my son's closet.
That's right.
From when we moved here.
That's right.
Like 6 years ago. Okay. I'm like, Rob, we really need to go through that and clean it out. The boys' closet, two boys share one closet. It's pretty full. We need to clean it out. Rob's like, we're not throwing anything in those boxes away.
Oh, no. Nothing.
I'm like, right. Something that we didn't even know existed for the past 6 years is probably extremely valuable.
I knew it was there. And by the way,
Chris Sabo baseball cards.
There are several baseball cards, and there probably are Chris Sabos in there.
How did I know that?
Baseball cards.
It's all from that era.
Also,
45 records.
No, I don't have any records.
Also, his laptop bag or briefcase bag from law school.
It's very important. You never know when you might need that.
Probably a cassette tape or two.
There was a cassette tape in there. Excellent.
There was a cassette tape, yeah.
Also, never know when you'll need that.
You could need
grade ribbons from track and field.
There were some song lyrics, I think, from a band he used to be in.
Now, Scott, the stupidity of that is the fact that you'd think I was in track and field. But, you know.
Well.
Also true. And the biggest doozy was that there was a receiver.
Yes. Pioneer receiver.
That we're not allowed to get rid of just in case.
You don't know about the Sony one I also have someplace.
I know you have a lot of shit that we don't need.
I know one thing I don't need. Anyway, let's get into this wine.
But Rob was like, we can't get rid of any of it. I'm not getting rid of anything in these boxes.
I said it with a lot more charm than that.
Yeah, but you did.
I would say his voice was five or six octaves.
I said, now look here, Becky. You're not going to make me get rid of any of my shit. So that's the way
it
is.
That's what happened.
And so you know what I did? I put it in the other bedroom closet.
But he has an old Xbox.
I did. I gave it to
Owen. That hasn't worked in 6 years that he gave to his nephew to fix, and he sells them.
Yeah.
I bet it somehow works its way back in the house.
I don't want that. Right. I have the Xbox right there.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. This is that replaced that one.
Yeah, somebody fixed the Xbox twice.
Yeah, it was just,
it never really worked, so we're giving it to Owen to fix.
Yeah, and then he sells them. That's cool. We make $60. Rock on. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then, I know, we're going to be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care. But your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio.
For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So, the mystery wine tonight. Very exciting. I will give you a very important clue. It is, in fact, a red wine. That's more for the people at home.
I would have thought it was a black wine.
You know, the last time I heard a clue like that, it was given to the superstar during Wine Vault Trivia.
He still got it wrong, but, you know, whatever. And by the way, the superstar is not on tonight because he's a douchebag.
Yeah. He tempted us.
He ghosted us.
He's a ghost.
He promised us.
Motherfucker. Yeah. I didn't care, but he's still a douche. At least we don't have to split this wine four ways.
Well,
which is suggestive of the wine. Or is it?
No. There's no way this is a good wine.
Good. So, in the glass, folks.
It's black. He might trick us like that.
It's a black wine.
It is dark.
Mm-hmm.
Dense, beautiful eggs.
Mm-hmm.
It does look like a wonderful wine in the glass. Or Purple Death.
You can smell a little American oak on there, most likely. It smells like American oak. Just a whiff.
Oh.
Cassis.
Sharp.
Yeah, cassis. You're really eager on this wine.
I know. That could be a good thing.
I'm going
smell
all
menthol.
In. I'm just going top of my head. Hmm. It's 19 grimes.
No, he didn't
He's
go out and buy
to punish
any.
Us.
He didn't go out and buy any wine today.
Or maybe I've had it. You don't know what I buy.
What's the other smell on the top of it?
There's a berry.
Yeah.
No, but
there's something
a...
sharp that's actually burning my nose.
I thought it was a menthol smell. I'm terrified to taste it.
You should be.
You're going to taste it?
Sure.
Here we go, folks.
I'm still looking for what you were wanting to pick out on top of the wine.
Gotta let them drink it first. I'm too afraid.
It's not a pleasant nose. That's all I'm going to say about that. There's something sharp and acrid that is burning my nostrils. It's berry. It's kind of jammy smelling. And there is... a little menthol-y. I don't know about the oak.
Oh, that's good. Oh, the finish. See, I'm not lying to you. It's not bad.
The nose is not good.
Well, Scott, you just...
I've let maybe two drops hit my mouth, so I don't know if it's good or bad. I was more afraid that I wasn't going to be able to stomach it.
Oh. Just bathes you. You should immediately know where it's from by drinking it one time. Roughly where it's from.
Wow. Yeah, that's a gripping, dense tannins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Huge
mm-hmm.
tannins.
It's very tannic. A big core of spice. It's not heat. That's spice.
It's spice. The, you know.
Which makes sense.
You may have given us a clue, the American oak, but it's oaky, but not in an over-oaked way.
No.
And you know it's not French oak. You really do. Or. A blend of American and French oak. But it's oaked fairly well. Oaks it. Touch heavy, maybe. I do like the spice of the oak that Rob mentioned, and it's a it's beyond black pepper. It's almost on the verge of like a cayenne, like a hot pepper. It doesn't come across spicy like hot pepper, but it's beyond black pepper. It's sharper than just a fresh black pepper.
Mm-hmm. There's
so
definitely
where do you think
tobacco
this is
there.
From?
Cinnamon. That's one thing I would say.
Cinnamon?
Yeah, cinnamon. I just read it in the review and I agree. But it's a cinnamon
girl.
Heat. Yeah, an herbaceous, spiced cinnamon heat.
I don't know that I taste cinnamon. It's really tannic.
Oh,
plum slash prune. It's somewhat linear. It really doesn't have these transitions from the front to medium to the finish. It just kind of is there. And maybe that's because of the driving force that these tannins are.
No, there's a very good reason why it's like that. I'll just let you know.
Do share.
No. Let's go around the room. First of all, let's see if everybody can just throw out what varietal they think it is. And you can do it collectively or individually, because you might disagree.
Let's talk out loud, Becky. You're better at this than I am. I'll admit that.
George is better at this than you are.
The body makes me think it's a cab, but the color makes me think it's a Syrah.
Yeah, I was thinking Petit Syrah or Syrah. And possibly it could be a big Spanish Grenache or...
Yeah. When we get into Grenache and Syrah, I'm not nearly as good at picking them out. The coloring is what's making me think.
It's so dark.
Yeah. I think we could say Petit Syrah and be safe.
Okay, you say Petit Syrah, but where do you think it's from?
Are we right?
I'm going to go...
I'm going to say yes or no once you give me your full answer.
Well, it's American oak. That's our first clue. So we're not going to be drinking a French wine aged in American oak. Right, okay. So we can narrow it down to it's an American. And
although he could be totally just doing that to throw us off, I don't believe it's French oak.
Okay. So do you think California, Oregon, Washington?
I think it is...
Sorry, folks, you heard Scott. He had a little nervous twitch and his leg was shaking. That's what happens when you get old. Go ahead, Scott. Do you have to use the bathroom?
All the time. I've got to use the bathroom. Leg syndrome. It's like, you know that.
It's like, son of a bitch.
I don't know if this is Californian just based on the tannins and the I don't know. I can get much more specific.
Yeah. Washington.
Okay.
A Washington what? It's not a Washington Petit Syrah because it doesn't...
Syrah.
They say, folks, a Washington Syrah.
I'm just talking off the top of
my
head.
I don't know.
You didn't think California, though, right?
I don't know. It has so much body in it. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Well, you're right about one thing. That it's red and it has a lot of body. Other than that, you two are so fucking wrong.
Okay, what is it? Tell us, please.
First of all... This is a Spanish wine.
Ah!
I was right.
Scott said it.
I mentioned that.
Not really.
Yes,
second of all.
I said it could be a Spanish.
Excellent job, Scott.
Yeah.
Second of all, this is a Tempranillo.
There you go.
Now, I think what had you guys going is this isn't current vintage wine. This is old wine.
Very nice.
What is it?
It's from... A winery that we talk about quite a bit on this show.
What?
Terramahill.
Terramahill is for bitches. This is not Terramahill. Oh. This is Numanthia.
How dare you?
And it's their 2008 Termes.
Wow. Which is not...
I was not expecting that.
It's a $20 wine.
Right.
It's 11 years old. Now, this wine does have a claim. It has.
You could knock me over with a feather that this is Numanthia.
It's Numanthia. Wow. That's how big Numanthia is. It's Tempranillo, right. But wine is 291s. The first one was from the Spectator.
This was a $20 wine.
Yeah, $20. You can still buy it for it. Well, although this is the thing, this is Termes.
Right.
For a while there's a group of them that are Termes, but not really. The different winemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly now they're back to getting to the age-worthy Termes with the most current vintage. These things are some of the best value. I still have an 11 and a 12. Or no, a 10 and 11. Some of the, and a bunch of other ones. This is some of the best value aging wine there exists. But the Spectator said, this bold red matches ripe berry and current flavors with toast, dark chocolate, and oak notes. The tannins are firm and well integrated, and the smoky mineral note is alluring. But they said drink now through 2016. Here we are in 2019.
And it may have lost some of those subtleties.
It's still fine. And the enthusiast,
it's fantastic.
The enthusiast said, an excellent wine for an off vintage. This is an off vintage. Well, it was getting 94s and 95s every other vintage. Okay. With licorice, balsam, black fruits galore, and coconut aromas. This wine feels plush, layered, and smooth for a Toro. With blackberry, mocha, lemon peel, and coconutty flavors. Mm. Coconutty? Is that a word? Oh, well. Mm. Toasty on the finish with a final wave of vanilla and chocolate, but get this. Drink now through 2014. Mm. Now, this actually cost $30 back in the day. Now it's $20. So this was a $30 one, but it's actually somewhere around $24.99.
Yeah.
But they thought this was going to expire in 2014. Here it is, 2019. It's fine. Yeah. The tannins are still huge.
The tannins are still big.
It's probably not the motor oil it once was, but quite frankly, these wines are so big, it takes that much time.
So I've had Numanthia before. We've drank a lot of Spanish wine, but it's been a minute for us. Yeah. Like, it's been a minute for me. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, in my mind, I'm a little bit like, oh, yeah, I haven't exercised that part of my brain and that part of my palate in a while. And I'm so glad that you chose this because you do kind of get in an area or a region, and it's important. It's so important to stretch yourself out. I did not at all think this was a Spanish wine, but it just shows that I haven't had enough Spanish wine lately.
I'm just terrible at the game. But it probably is a little past its prime, just because it's lost some of the little subtleties. You know, the chocolate really isn't there anymore, and you kind of expect that to still be there.
I think it tastes like an extremely good Monastrell.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably a little past its prime. Ideally, I'm surprised you.
I don't know. I
held
it
that long.
I know. Did you lose it?
That's why I drank it tonight. I went, oh, shit.
This was an moment when you looked at it.
04s and 05s, too, in the last couple years we have done it. And they are still good. Yeah. But this has a little more subtlety than that. I mean, I think that when you say it's linear, no, it's just its age.
And
the mineral is out.
And I, when I was in my inexperienced at playing this game, it never occurred to me that what we were drinking was an old wine, was something you pulled out from the cellar. So I wasn't even...
Same.
I'd probably been more likely to say Spanish at that point. But
that's the game.
Oh, and now I see sediment too. I'm like, oh, okay.
It should be.
But you know, when you in the glass, I didn't see any sediment.
No, and there's no brickishness to it. It doesn't old.
It doesn't look old.
Mm-mm.
Is this 100% Tempranillo?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, Tinto de Toro, which is Tempranillo. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's an impressive wine. And this is. Now, I have many Numanthia proper still in there, like five or six. But those are big dogs. They have a linear structure, too, though. I mean, the last one we did was, I think it's an 05.
Yeah.
Right.
And we did that, what, in 2017 or 18?
Wow.
But it was the Numanthia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Numanthia. It wasn't the Numanthia.
For you to get this kind of body and this kind of tannin out of a wine this old, it really is unreal. The body in this, that was when you said, when we were debating if it was a Syrah or not, in my mind, I was like, I just don't think that this, you could get this body in anything but a cab, but I totally had forgotten about.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can Syrah's get them out of Syrah.
Yeah, Syrah's can be big.
But
yeah.
Not this big?
Yeah.
This and is
particularly
such a full
tannin.
I mean,
wine.
Good Syrah's. I mean, not shitty Syrah's. But
and particularly, again, for something that's a newer wine, and just the raw tannins,
Scott's got a few by K-Vintners.
K-Vintners.
You're going to get big wines with those sons of bitches. I mean, big wines. But also, Côte Rôté, your Northern Rhone stuff, those are huge wines. And let's see, Coronas, those are massive wines, and those are all Syrahs. I mean, so, you know, it is there. I love the fact. Do you? But you enjoy this? Mm-hmm. Good. And because if you like this, you'll like a lot of Bordeaux's, because this has the same mineral structure as a Bordeaux.
Yeah, and that's kind of the other thing. The minerals are. Do you think they're kind of softened a bit? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, this had a core of tobacco. Toro should, so.
But
it's lessened in this.
It's lessened. Yep. I mean, I don't know that I'm pulling tobacco out at all.
But a beautiful, I mean, the blackberry front end is still lovely. And you'd think the fruit would be more muted than it is, but it's not.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's more of just a, it no longer is it necessarily a tobacco, where it's more of a mineral edge that might be a whiff of tobacco that leads into that cinnamon, herb, spice, tannic finish.
That's what's surprising, the way you get that spicy finish still on a wine this old. That's impressive.
Yeah, it
is. Is it truly American oak, or was that
I mean, correct me, I can't find it online, but for some reason, I think that they do use American oak. Because they do, Spain, some Spanish wines do use it.
You know, maybe the leather, leather instead of tobacco now.
I suppose an aged tobacco would be.
And I'm sticking with the I agree, the blackberry, but plum. It's plum there with it.
Yeah.
A sweeter plum.
Yeah. Then red currant, it leads into the red currant.
What it doesn't have is that chocolate. Doesn't have that mocha. Doesn't have that.
Spanish wines typically don't, though.
Right. Yeah. But that was the description.
I'm not tasting any olives either. I feel like normally I can spot a Spanish wine with an olive taste.
Well, that'd be older. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the mouthfeel feels slightly elevated as well. I thought that when we tasted it, but I was honestly afraid to say it because I was afraid I was going to be like, "Oh, it has an elevated mouthfeel," and the Rob was going to be like, "This wine costs $2.99."
But immediately you knew something special because of the mouthfeel, the way it just and we probably haven't talked through this. It's this. It doesn't have the mouthfeel immediately as it progresses towards the finish. It just coats the tongue with the density of the wine. It's not really a silkiness. It's just dense. It's like almost it's just sort of being glycerin-y and oily, but it's a thickness across your tongue.
Yeah,
and it's the liquid's long gone. It's as the finish is progressing, and all of a sudden you've got this mouthfeel that's spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
It's unique. I don't remember a mouthfeel like this before. I'm having a trouble describing it.
We've had some Monastrells but more of the Terima. Actually, the Terima had a similar mouthfeel.
Okay.
This is far more complex than the Terima. The Terima was this mouthfeel, slightly this mouthfeel, and tannin. That was it. It's just like boom, boom.
Where's the Terima on the wall?
It's in the Value Price Hall of Fame. But this has a lot more complexity and fruit. One thing we said about the Terima, I wish it had fruit, but that's what Terima Hill is for.
Right.
Yeah. Terima Hill is jazzier than this. But this is a lot more focused. This is just an adult wine. An adult version of these wines.
This is why you age wines.
It is.
And, you know, I'd like to think he did this because he was giving you problems today with the boxes, but he probably just wanted to toy with us and realized he needed to drink this.
And he knew this would be this is a great wine to blind taste test.
Oh, it is. That's why I did that.
Especially it being a Numanthia, which is like...
And he was concerned that it was too old.
Numanthia is like above Turley in this house. It's been a while since we've talked about Numanthia, really.
Well, why wouldn't we talk about it?
Yeah. I'm just waiting for you to tell the story from our honeymoon.
Did you just say above Turley?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Well, it is above Turley, Scott. It's better than Turley.
Go ahead and tell the story about what I did to you on our honeymoon that you haven't been able to get over.
So we were in a...
Is this going to be on air?
So we were in a cafe.
That's right. We do an explicit rating.
Yeah.
That this comes later in Becky's Corner. But anyway, we were in a open air, I don't know what you'd call it.
Market.
It's a market. But they have little restaurant stalls and whatnot, and wine and all these stalls.
We were in Madrid on our honeymoon.
Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful. It was like a glass.
We've been married almost 9 years to all the listeners. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, Rob hasn't gotten over this.
It's because it's terrible. Anyway, I had just had a glass of port. But then I went by a stall and they had Numanthia proper. And it wasn't that expensive. It was like, I don't know, 15 euro or 12 euro. I don't know.
12 euros would be like $24.
I don't know what it was. Anyway, they had Numanthia and Becky wouldn't let me. You've already had too much as it is. I almost ended the marriage right there. Had an annulment.
On our honeymoon.
I felt like it.
But she didn't know about Numanthia then.
She knew about Numanthia.
Oh, I knew about Numanthia from the get-go.
She knew about Numanthia.
That's why we went to Spain on our honeymoon.
My first Numanthia was 1998 Numanthia.
I wanted to go to Greece on our honeymoon.
That would have been great. Drink wine that smells like cat piss.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah. So
it always says that.
Well, it's because it does. So we'll be right back, folks, here on the Wine Bowl. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we have Becky's Corner. This is a segment where Becky provides an opinion on a topic that may be anything, really. It's what's on her mind and what she needs to expound upon. Just so you know, beforehand, the Wine Vault does not expressly agree with or acknowledge that any of these opinions that Becky will give are ours. They are hers alone. Also, Becky's Corner is brought to you by Craig Walters Allstate Insurance. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call, even though he doesn't know that he specifically has endorsed this. Craig apparently does share these opinions. I don't know. So
that was Craig probably the worst disclaimer I've ever heard in my life.
I think that Craig would share my opinions.
You've known nothing about what's going to happen.
Craig would share my opinions because they're anti-Rob.
Possibly.
Bum, 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 bum.
And so, folks, without further ado, here's the Triple B.
I'm not just going to go on an hour rant.
No, you're not. But go ahead.
So today, Rob asked me, this is, I think, before we cleaned out the closet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of in a pissy mood anyways.
Yeah. Go figure. Go ahead.
And Rob said, what kind of wine do you want tonight?
I asked her what she would like to drink on the show. That's nice of me, right? How dare I?
Scott, I thought this was Becky's Corner.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Thank you, Scott. So Rob said, oh, that hurts so bad. Rob Karma. Said, what kind of wine do you want tonight? Probably something white, right?
No, I did not say that.
That is what you said.
No.
I'm like, Rob, hold on here.
I did not say that. That's a lie.
And then women like white wine.
I never said that either.
Oh, sir.
Oh, Lord.
That's what happened.
Sir. This is so dishonest.
I was so pissed. I was really, really pissed at you. And so that just led into me. I went out, just went on a rant. A lot of women do like white wine.
I never said that.
I was behind these girls the other day that were buying neon blue Smirnoff Ice.
Yeah. Well, can I
so
just...
So I get it. However, Rob and I, as I just said, have been married for a long time. I only really like Sauvignon Blanc. And he said, I could probably find a Chardonnay downstairs.
No, that's not what I said.
I don't really even like Chardonnay.
There is a Rodney Strong Chalk Hill Chardonnay that has our name on it.
He's really digging himself a hole, isn't he?
Let me explain. This is the problem, though. Okay. When I first met Scott, and it's kind of Scott rubbing off on me. When I first met Scott, he looked at me in a quizzical sense and said, you allow Becky to speak without your permission? And I was like, I didn't understand what he meant by that.
No, you were like, I do. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Well, I was like, wow. And that's kind of what I'm around.
Right.
It's okay, Scott. I mean, I understand.
Backhoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leveling the ground.
Rob said he was almost a feminist.
The outriggers coming out,
yeah.
And Rob is using that backhoe to dig himself a ditch.
Because I ask her what kind of wine she wanted
in
to
the
drink.
Graveyard industry to right. dig graves.
Yeah.
And I think he's digging himself a grave.
Yeah.
Well, his own.
Well, look, you said, you always say, I want to drink Pinot. Because women like Pinot. I said, no. You say you like Pinot.
I didn't say that.
Well, oh, yes, you did. If you can make up what I say.
We've been drinking a lot of Pinot lately.
Yes, we have been.
That's a red wine.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Great.
I like cabs. I like Zins. I like what we're drinking tonight.
That's fantastic.
When is the last time that you saw me, or you heard me request a white wine?
Last night, you actually did.
When?
You said, do we have any Chardonnay or Moscato?
Uh-huh.
I would love to have
that
some.
That happened. And I was like,
what's your fucking problem? You said, why don't we drink those Rieslings tonight? I said, what's your fucking problem?
Let's double this back, I just hope
that we have something really sugary and sweet to pair with this ribeye that you made. I remember that. That sounds like me, doesn't it?
Yeah. Let's just double this back.
You even flipped your hair when you said it.
Let's just break down this comment here.
Jesus Christ.
Women like white wine. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Which is fine if you like white wine.
But
he said it with such
Scott.
What was
disdain.
Behind? Yeah, I was going to say, what was behind that comment?
Aren't you the spokesman
disdain
for Griffon?
And disgust.
Disdain and disgust.
You know what? You like white wine? That's great. It's not my favorite.
I
like Sauvignon Blanc. But you know what? Rob is a Judge Judy.
Oh, my God. I didn't recognize it before.
He is.
Nothing but a liar.
He's an elitist.
I'm an elitist. Well, that's fair enough.
He likes to pretend like he's one of the people, but he's not.
He's not.
I never said I was one of the people.
You say that all the time.
Well, not on the show. Come on now. Yeah.
No, anytime that I'm even slightly snobby, Rob's like, I'm one of the people.
Well,
these are my people.
But you actually mean
I don't act like this towards people.
I don't. Not to their face. They don't know that.
Unless it's your wife and you're degrading
women.
I do want
to tell one more story as part of Becky's
Is
corner.
It all made up?
So we're
went, not doing this anymore.
We went to a festival yesterday.
Oh, yes, we did.
And there were some choice people there, as there normally are, you know, at an outdoor festival.
It was a little more than what I expected, but that's all right.
Yeah, it was a little bit overwhelming.
What was the festival?
It was the Sweetcorn Festival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is a good time. We always have a great time. I think our mistake is we normally go on a weeknight. We went on Saturday afternoon, and there were a lot of people that had, like, come out from the hills.
Didn't you guys all go one year when everybody's kids were little guys?
Yeah.
And it was a nightmare.
Yeah. Yes. It usually is a little bit of a shit show, you know, like.
Yeah, it's a festival.
Yeah.
People were, like, aligned for an hour to go on the Matterhorn.
Yeah.
At the Sweetcorn
and
Festival.
The rides were a little bit expensive. Like, every ride was $3. So for both of our boys to go on, it was $6 for a ride. I feel like that's kind of a lot.
The Matterhorn is an underrated state fair, county fair, festival ride.
Would you wait in line for it?
To go to die because you can come off the rails and knock out a couple people with you.
Right.
And would you wait in line to do that?
I'm sure.
Probably not.
That the amusement inspectors were all over the Matterhorn before
I saw nobody there.
Sweetcorn Festival.
We get a free parking pass through some of Rob's family.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. So we saved like $10 there, right? And we got to park actually in the VIP spot this year, which was kind of exciting. So then we're walking around. There were some extremely choice people there. Their children, whatever. There was a lot going on. My favorite shirt I'll tell you my two favorite shirts, male and female. My favorite male shirt, it was a dad with like 3 or 4 kids.
Mm.
And it said, you stomp on my flag, I'll stomp on your ass.
Nice.
Yeah. I always appreciate people who wear cuss word shirts in front of their kids.
And smoke.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of cigarette smoking yesterday. So there was that shirt for the dudes. And it had like an American flag, which if you're like real serious about the flag, you shouldn't put it on clothing, right? Mm. That's like one of the things about that's one of the things about flags is you're not supposed to wear flag clothing. It's only supposed to be the American flag.
Well, that guy would have read that, but he can't read.
But then he also had a footprint. In case you didn't, the reading thing, stomp, then you would get it from those footprint.
Oh.
But then the woman that I saw that takes the cake was, she was wearing a hot pink shirt, and it said, I've been doing mom shit all day.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Right.
I think I'm going to order that and give it as Christmas presents. Well,
you might want to wear it.
You know what my life is.
Right.
So
right.
I have been doing mom shit all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just like a taste of what it was like.
That was fun.
Yeah. Then there was like a donut booth that... popular.
Did boys get donuts?
How many people deep was it? 40?
50.
Fair donuts are freaking phenomenal.
Yeah.
The grease in the cup.
Oh, yeah. They like deep fry them right there.
I've had them. They ain't that good.
No. I bet they're divine.
No, they're not.
Cake fair donuts.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I can't imagine anything better besides they had some frozen lemonades, which I didn't get either.
Krispy Kreme.
But anyways, we found this other jank ass stand that was selling mini donuts, and Rob bought the boys mini donuts, and they didn't know any better. They were thrilled.
I tasted them.
Were they good?
Anyway, they were fine. They were fine.
Rob was like, should I get them pumpkin or cinnamon sugar? I'm like, our kids are little kids. They're not going to want pumpkin donuts. Get them cinnamon sugar.
Yeah, you got to go cinnamon sugar.
Yeah, they were thrilled.
I'm not a pumpkin fan anyway.
It's very interesting.
No, pumpkin donuts, not.
I would give my left leg for a regular donut.
That's good. That's good. Well, folks, that is Becky's Corner for tonight. I'm glad that you got to hear that. I'm glad that I was here for that. Yep. And as I remind you, none of those things that she said, do I agree with? I think they're all wrong.
Well, it was obvious since you interrupted her to correct her every other word.
That's right. That's right.
We do need to have Craig Walters on because I know he would take my side in everything.
That's his job. He is.
Yeah.
Craig Walters Insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has no integrity, apparently. He's not coming on. He knows.
That's like the pot kettle and kettle black.
I am Mr. Integrity.
Right.
I'm the rock of integrity. That's just what I am.
You're a rock.
I'm a cornerstone. Right. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Sure.
You're a rock around a mafioso's.
But no matter what, we are not getting rid of anything in those boxes upstairs in the closet.
We didn't.
That you know of.
Yes.
Allegedly.
So impressive, folks. So impressive. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back here.
What was the cassette tape?
I think it was blank.
Unlabeled. Mm-hmm. You're keeping a blank cassette tape.
Just in case they come back.
Oh, yeah. There we go, folks. Nice job, Scott. Here on the Wine Bowl. Right. We're back, folks. So the 2008 Bodegas Numancia Termes from Toro in Spain. I just got the dirtiest of dirty looks from the Triple B because I'm funny and she's not. So we're going to go around the room. We're going to start off with the Triple B for her numerical score.
Let me have another drink.
By all means.
I'm having a hard time scoring this. I think I'm going to go with an 89. If it had any of the, if I could taste like the, I can't find the cinnamon that you all can find. So, like, I get the tannins, I get the elevated mouthfeel, I'm tasting some really nice oak notes on it, but I can't find... If I could find the mocha, I think that would elevate it to a 90 for me.
Love this. It What elevates this to the score I'm going to give it is that unusual mouthfeel. Mm. That it's unusual in a fantastic way. That I just really don't even feel like, even when Rob talked about it, that we've described it wholly. It's beyond a glycerin mouthfeel. It's just denser than glycerin. It's not oily. It's thick.
Mm.
It's like, I don't know, like somebody took a roller of something and rolled it across your tongue, but it happens like as the finish progresses, it's like you're the finish of the wine, there's something rolling from the back of your tongue across to the front, and it's just I'm a sucker for mouthfeel and for, yep, physical responses of wine, so albeit, and you know, sometimes I will subdue my scores because of that. I'm not doing that with this. The tannins are still humongous for an 11-year-old wine. I'm going 92. I think it lacks, only because it's probably a little far gone. I think there would be even more subtleties and even more things present, the mocha, the chocolate, whatever. We talked about tobacco, and I don't think that's still there, but I described it as leather. The fruit for an 11-year-old wine is really present, but it's difficult. I'm not sure how you are supposed to score a wine this old. Just like Becky was uncertain, I'm uncertain too. So I'm just scoring it how I'd normally score it. I don't know if it gets more points because it's this good being this aged, no, or less, or you just call it what you call it. So. Yeah. You just call it what you call it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm going 92. And if I had to range it, I would range it 91 to 93, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Oh.
But I'm a 97. No, I'm a 91, actually.
Oh.
I think this wine is kind of the complete package of several wines that we've had that we wish it had this. We wish it had that. We wish that this wine has this and that and this and that.
Yeah.
It has, I mean, the elements of Termes, the Terma, just the base Terma, that wonderful tannic streak. Is there. The fruit is there, though. Where that didn't have that, this has that. You know, if Terma, for instance, had big fruit, it would have been a 90, probably.
Right.
But this has that, but then it has more complexity. There is, when you say there is a mocha, there is a mocha dustiness to it. It just doesn't have a chocolate streak to back that up. It does have a little bit of mocha cinnamon, but that's more of the dusty tannins, really.
And it's kind of all muddled in with the oak.
True. This wine, though, its impressiveness is the fact that the enthusiast and the spectator left it for dead years ago.
Yep.
And here it is, still strong. So if things
that is
are
impressive.
If wine is aged properly at the proper temperature and not molested, see what it can do.
And you moved it.
Oh, I moved it. Yeah, a couple times. I also think
we moved houses with it.
Yes. I think that also says another thing. In reality, the magazines don't always know what they're doing.
Nope. Well,
especially on ageability. And that's because this would have been released, what, in 2011 or 12? And they were only giving it a very, very small window.
Didn't you mention probably that 11. They said it was a non-vintage year? It was a non-spectacular vintage?
It was an off-vintage.
This year was supposed to be an off-vintage?
Yeah, but it still gave a 91.
But we have talked about collectibles, and we've talked about this line throughout our show, and then you pull this out, and it just, folks, it just goes to show you don't have to spend a lot of money to enjoy good wine. You don't have to spend a lot of money to enjoy collectible wine.
Mm-hmm.
This wine, in a certain sense, is collectible.
And it's so funny too. This is an off vintage, and it's great.
Fucking yeah.
Which is
years.
another example of drink what you like.
You know, it may not be Burgundian and you're collecting this for 40 years. It may not be a port that you're keeping for 40 years, but 10 years, by anybody's measure, that's collectible.
Yep.
One little thing about this wine. The cork puller back there couldn't get the cork out.
Mm.
It was too much in there. I had to get the two-stage out, and then put it over there on the coffee table so I had more leverage, and I finally got it out.
Well,
It had been sitting on its side for a long time, man.
Yeah.
And the end of the cork, you see the one that's black at the end of it on the right side?
Yeah.
That's the cork.
Wow.
It was literally
the bottom of the cork is black.
It was not crumbly. So, it's not crumbly. It just was that tight in there.
Rob and Becky are compiling. They've got the black aluminum letters for their name, and they're filling them with corks. This cork is as black as the black painted R that it resides in.
And by the way, folks, we have D, E, and most of R filled. Yeah. So now we just have to order the N.
Yeah.
And we'll have the name.
But I think you should go apostrophe S.
What are you going to get an apostrophe?
What? Well, no, hold on. Let's talk about that. What would we be possessing?
Yes.
Dern's Wine Vault.
Oh, we're going to do the whole...
Listen, we got a long time to do this.
Our livers,
I could start bringing my corks over, too. You know?
Okay, that would take a lot. That was a lot of wine. I don't have a wall that big.
So you had trouble getting the cork out?
I got it out. It wasn't crumbly. It just took a little leverage.
Did you ask William for help? I mean, you know, he's the strong, manly Dern in the family.
Good God. I can't get the foil off. I have to have an electric cork opener because corks are too strong for me. I'm just a boy. I can't do it. My name is Scott.
You're veering into Rex's talk.
I can't pull out the cork. I'm just a little boy. I can't do it. I have to have an electric cork opener.
I'm not one who can get the cork out.
Look at this. Look at me. Douche. So, a 92, a 91, a 89, and a Wine Vault Hall of Fame. But
no objections here.
This wine does not get its label taken off. It goes up on there.
And I think this bottle, you know, on the show and both, you know, in private times, you've pulled some special bottles out.
Very private times.
Very private times. No, you've pulled some special
very private
things out.
Oh, they were special.
Well, once upon a time it was special.
Oh,
it's not so special anymore. Finish your story.
But this one's different in that this fits into why we do the show.
It fits, yeah.
Budget and entry priced wines. And this is, what'd you say, $25?
Yeah, about that.
You said 20.
Now it's 20, about but that. I think he thought.
You bought it for 30.
Yeah, I don't remember what
you overpaid.
Okay.
I paid what they asked for, asshole.
God, he's so sensitive.
It was $20, and Rob said, here, take 30.
Deserves its place up on the pedestal.
Yeah.
Yep.
With the Pagal.
And that's the
It's not Pagal level, but the achievement for this is it's an entry-priced bottle of collectible wine that was, it's pretty spectacular, folks.
Oh, it is. It is. It's wonderful. So... Bravo, New Monthly, tip of the cap, yeah, whatever.
I'm mad. Now, looking back, when you the way that you drank this, I should have known it was a New Monthly.
Why's that?
Your first sip, I should have known it was a New Monthly. You always act like that about New Monthlys. I'm like actually mad at myself.
You should be.
I am.
Blame yourself.
I am. Looking back there, I was just so nervous you were trying to pass off like a really cheap wine on us.
Yeah.
But he can be as pompous as he wants, as long as he pulls a bottle of wine like this out.
Right.
We'll put up with that shit, right?
Right.
It's that's spectacular, folks.
That's right. That's what we're doing. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.